So the last couple of weeks, Joe and Chris have kind of reintroduced us to a pretty familiar story in the Old Testament character of Joseph. But they've also helped us to look at that and learn from it lessons that you may have missed in the other times that you've gone through. The power and the reality that in every circumstance of life, God has us there and gives us influence in every situation and circumstance. Joseph introduced us or reminded us of the family dynamics that Joseph grew up in, how at 17 years of age, God began to reveal to Joseph in dreams and visions the plans that he actually had for Joseph. And you know, I'm not sure at 17 if God started telling you how he was going to use you and do great things through you, you could keep silent about that. And I'm not really certain that there's any way that he could have shared that with his family that wouldn't have caused problems and rifts and that kind of thing. Chris last week pointed out and showed us how in our work and the jobs that we have and the situations that we have like that, that we have influence and we can influence the people that are around us at the jobs that we have. Today we're going to be looking at how Joseph was in some pretty dark places in his life. We're going to look at the scriptures a bit. It's really important for us to look at these things because the reality is we can learn from Joseph, and we need to because all of us have been or will be in darkness in our lives. I don't know about you, but most of the darkness that I've experienced hasn't been because I had enemies or people did terrible things to me. Most of the issues and problems in my life were self-inflicted. exchanging the truth that I had been taught as a young boy for lies that I preferred to believe. Bad choices, bad attitudes, bad actions that put me into some dark and despairing places. Maybe that's not the case for you. Maybe you were the victim of somebody like me. Maybe your family was dysfunctional like Joseph's. You know, Joseph had 10 brothers. He ended up with 12 brothers. He managed to alienate all but the one that hadn't been born yet. It's really hard to imagine a situation where your influence could cause 10 of your brothers to plot and scheme how they can murder you, but to repent of that and instead throw you in a pit and sell you into slavery. But that's what happened to Joseph. But the reality is that those brothers were simply following in the pattern of the dysfunction that had been in their family for a long time. Their father, Jacob, was a deceiver and a schemer, a liar. Jacob and Esau started their battles before they were even born. They were struggling in the womb. Some of you realize that the cause of sibling rivalry is simply having more than one child, right? If you've got brothers or sisters, you understand that that's the fact. You might want to put that into your equation when you think about having a family. But the good news is this. Even though all of our families have dysfunction and there are generational sins that are passed down from father to son and mother to daughter and all that kind of thing. And it's really easy for us to be bent and affected and influenced by what has happened before in our families. It doesn't have to be that way. And Joseph is a great example of a man who changed the generational dysfunction of his family. When Joseph ended up in Egypt, when he landed there, he landed on his feet because the Lord was with him. That phrase continues to repeat itself all through the story of Joseph's life. The Lord was with him. And because the Lord was with him, he prospered in everything that he attempted to do. But the reality is this. It was also partly the faithfulness of Joseph to use the gifts that God had given him, even in the darkness, to be determined to be true and to be faithful and to speak the truth instead of the lies that were so common to his father and his grandfather and those that even prior to that. Joseph was a man of integrity, a man who gave glory to God and credit to God for the things that happened in his life. We're going to do a little bit of review here in the scriptures. The story partly was covered by the other guys, but I still want us to read some of it. Now, Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hand. So Joseph found favor in the sight and attended to him and made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer of his home, and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. Not only was Joseph successful, but his influence caused blessings on the man who owned him, the man that he chose to serve wholeheartedly, even though he was a slave. He used the gifts and the opportunity that God had given him, and he did it in such a way that people saw in him and in the way that he lived and in the things that he did that God was with him, and he brought glory to God in the way that he lived. Now, you would think that that everything was going to be, as David said, rainbows and butterflies from there on out. But the reality is that Joseph was a good-looking man, and he got the attention of Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife began to attempt to seduce him and pressure him. Some of you may know what that's like. Some of you may understand that people in authority over you can extort you for their own use and for their own purpose. But Joseph was faithful. Joseph refused, first of all, to do harm to his master. He said, it wouldn't be right for me to do that because my master has put me in charge of everything but you. And of more importance, Joseph refused to sin against his God. And the Lord was with him. Joseph did the right thing. I've come in my life recently to kind of simplify things for myself and attempt to to try to keep things from being too complicated, I have a motto that I try to just do the next right thing. And Joseph was doing the next right thing when he resisted the advances of Potiphar's wife. You know, some of us think that when we do the next right thing, it's going to result in really good things happening for us, right? We think that when we do the next right thing, well, you know, blessings come and everything is good. But that isn't necessarily so. Because he did the next right thing, Potiphar's wife slandered him, accused him falsely. And Potiphar took her word for it and didn't do an investigation, and Joseph ended up in prison. Another dark place. I don't know about you, but when things are bad and things aren't going well and I find myself under stress and in dark places, I tend sometimes to start feeling sorry for myself and kind of draw into myself and isolate, act out. Joseph didn't do that. Even though Joseph was in jail, he cared about the people who were under his care. The jailer recognized that the Lord was with him and put him in charge of the jail and put him in charge of the prisoners. And at one point in time, Joseph comes to work in the morning in his jail cell, and he sees a couple of guys that are there, a baker and a cupbearer who had served Pharaoh. And they got thrown into prison because they did something that Pharaoh didn't like. But Joseph noticed, because he didn't keep his eyes just focused on himself, that something wasn't right with those guys. And he inquired, you know, what's going on? You seem kind of down today. And they told him that they both had similar dreams and they didn't know what it meant and they were troubled by that. And Joseph gave, again, glory to God. He said, God is the interpreter of dreams, but tell me what your dreams were, and I believe God will enable me to tell you what it means. It's important in the dark times and in the places where we might have a tendency to turn inward and become self-focused to see what's going on around us and to care for the people who may be in the same kind of a situation. That's the kind of man Joseph was. And so Joseph interpreted the dreams of these two men. For one, it was really good news. In 3 days, he was going to be restored to his position as the cupbearer for Pharaoh. For the baker, it was not so good. He was going to be released from prison only to have his head taken from him. But when Joseph told the cupbearer the good news, he said, remember me now. When you leave here, remember what I've done for you. Remember the good that I did and make sure Pharaoh knows about me. And you would think that's what would happen, right? Somebody's told you good news and what he told you came true and you're delivered from your prison, that you would remember when you got out. Doesn't work that way sometimes, right? You've done good things for people and they just kind of took it for granted or forgot about you, left you in whatever circumstances you were in. And when you needed help, they didn't know you, right? Sometimes life just isn't fair. We live in a world filled with darkness. We live in a world, and we've been reminded of it in the last few years and the onset of COVID, that in this life, there's going to be bad times. God's not hidden that from us. He says, in this life you will have trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. Peter reminds us that we shouldn't be surprised at the fiery trials that come our way. But he charges us, like Joseph, that when we suffer as Christians, not as evildoers. The truth is, just like the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord is with you. There is no better news than that. In good times and in bad times, the Lord is with us. And not just with us, He is for us. If God is for us, no one can effectively be against us. For those of us who are children of the Most High God, when you came to be a member of the family of God and you were born again into His family, you became a child of God, but not just a child of God, you became a gifted child of God. Each and every one of us, just like Joseph, is gifted for God's purposes. You see, when in the life of Joseph, he didn't use his gift for himself. He used it for others, to interpret their dreams, to look out for them, to see them prospered. He did his best to use the things that God gave him to prosper those who were around him. God has gifted you as a child in His family to be a blessing, to be a blessing to those around you in the family of God. Each of us has been gifted so that we can encourage and enable our brothers and sisters to become all that God wants us to be. In Proverbs, the 18th chapter, the 16th verse, we find these words: "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." I don't know that that's ever been more appropriate than it was for Joseph, because eventually, when the cupbearer did remember what Joseph had done for him, when Pharaoh had a dream, Joseph was brought into the presence of the Pharaoh of Egypt. And he was released, and he came out of darkness and was placed in a position of authority. What you were designed to be known for is your gift. God has put a gift in every person that the world will make room for. It is this gift that will enable you to fulfill your vision. It is this gift that will enable you to help the body of Christ be all that God intends and expects for us to become. Here in this congregation, we've had examples of this kind of thing. A couple of years ago, Ann Topping, who was the leader of our Cornerstone counseling ministry, was diagnosed with an incurable cancer. For a lot of people, that kind of news puts them in a terrible funk and gets them to feeling sorry for themselves. Ann was given 6 months to live, but instead she lived about 3 years and 6 months. And for that whole time, she used her gifts of counseling and ministry to encourage and to build and to heal those here in the body of Christ and those out of the body of Christ. With great joy, with happiness, she served and she used her gifts for 3 years to build up other people. The same should be true of all of us. God has gifted you for His purposes. God has gifted you. And this is an interesting thing. It was in those dark times, perhaps in the darkest time of Anne's life, bad news, not good prospects, that she became most influential. The same will be true of you. It's not so much what happens to us in life, just like with Joseph. We can't help what happens to us quite often in life. It's the slings and arrows of fortune, and there are evil people in the world, and people do bad things to one another. It's not as much what happens to you as what you do with that, how you react to that, how you respond to that, that proves your mettle and proves and demonstrates to those around you that God is with you, that God won't leave you or forsake you. Just like Joseph, Jesus said He would be with us to the end. He would never leave or forsake us. Sometimes doing the next right thing is difficult. I remember one time we were in an elders meeting, and there was a difficult decision to be made, and the elders were struggling about what to do and what the consequences were going to be and how we could do it best. And there was an elder in the congregation at that time, Dennis Farquhar. Dennis lost his wife, Maureen, recently. But in the course of that haggling back and forth about what we could do and what we should do and what we shouldn't do, Dennis said this: God accepts responsibility for the consequences of our obedience. I don't remember what the problem was. I don't remember what the solution was. But I've never forgotten the wisdom that came from Dennis that day. God accepts responsibility for the consequences of our obedience. Just do the next right thing. Use your gift. Know that God is with you. You'll never be alone. When Joseph was tempted, he gave us a pattern for resisting temptation. You do know you don't have to sin, right? Joseph gave us a great process for resisting temptation. First, he resisted. He said no. He opposed the advances of Potiphar's wife. And when he could no longer resist, he ran. You know that's biblical, right? God says, resist the devil and he will flee. And the way we can best resist the devil to make him flee is by putting on the armor of God every day, preparing for battle, and practicing to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I challenge you to be people who are workmen who do not need to be ashamed because you study to show yourself approved unto God. David said he would hide the Word of God in his heart so that he would not sin against him. Proverbs says, it will be good for you if you hide my word within you so that it's ready on your lips. When Jesus was tempted, he spoke the word of God at Satan and slashed him with the sword of the Spirit, and Satan left him. He'll do the same for you. But you know, sometimes I may not know what the word of God says in any given situation. And that's when it's time for me to run. In temptation, somebody has to run. We either make Satan run or we run, right? 2 Timothy 2:22 says this: flee youthful lusts. Flee youthful lust. Run to righteousness, to faith, to love, with those who seek God from a pure heart. Brothers and sisters, you're surrounded by men and women who have pure hearts and are here today seeking God. So when you're in a fight, when you're in the dark, don't stay there alone. Run to one another. Run to brothers and sisters. Call, ask for prayer. Be a part of a squad. Be a part of a battle team, people who can fight with you in the times of darkness and temptation. God is for you, and God is with you. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the way you've provided for us in this world. God, thank you so much for these things that have been recorded for us for our benefit, so that through perseverance we might stand firm against the evil one and in the days of darkness find the light. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of Joseph, who knew that you were with him. Help us to know, God, that if we belong to you, you will never leave us or forsake us. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're here this morning and... did I turn that off? No, it's on. Okay. If you're here this morning and you don't have the assurance that God is with you, and you don't if you're not a member of his family, you're not if you haven't been born again into his family. This morning, I pray that you will come to know that God exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. That you will come to know that Jesus is the very Son of God, the only way, the truth, and the life. And that you will come to claim him as your Lord and Savior and confess him as such. And that you will turn toward God with your sins in your hands, knowing that if you come to him in faith and repentance, he will wash those away in a watery grave of baptism. Don't leave here this morning without him. God bless you.